Our reading today comes from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 1, and it should appear on the screens. If not, it's on page 1041. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one who knows the Son is except the Father, and no one who knows the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
That's great. Thank you, Ali. Well, our talks in the last few weeks have been based around this little booklet from our archbishops. It's called Thy Kingdom Come, Evangelism for the Local Church. And Matt has helped us in the last two sermons to think about how in love we connect with our neighbours and with our friends and those who don't know Jesus. And then last week, he helped us think about how do we lead our friends to commitment in Jesus Christ? How do we sort of pop the question in order that they actually are given a chance to really know what it means to become a Christian? And now this week, I'm going to be speaking about love and discipleship. How do we help new people become discipleships who are growing? People, disciples, who will in turn make disciples. If we can do that, then we will have a sort of self-perpetuating church, won't we? It will be a church that has growth as its DNA. As a disciple is made, they will then go and make more disciples in turn. And of course, the point of all this is to extend Jesus' reign in the earth. To see his light come in the darkness that there is around us. It's to fulfill that great prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what we're doing really, on earth as it is in heaven, what we're doing is we're calling heaven down into our lives. We're calling heaven down into our locality, into our church, into our city, into our nation. We want to see on earth what happens in heaven. Heaven brought down. So I've got three headings this morning. I want to know heaven in me. I want to take heaven with me. And I want to see heaven established through me. So first of all, I want to know heaven in me. That's what it is to be a disciple. It's to have a sort of burning coal in your heart. It's to take the glory of heaven and allow the glory of heaven to warm your soul right deep inside, to take heaven into us. That's the transformation that we're looking for in our lives, because then inside out, we will be different and we will be changed. And the 12 disciples, they'd spent 18 months, perhaps 2 years at this point in Luke 10 with Jesus. And they'd been following him round. And let's face it, they weren't a great success, really. They were not the finished article in any way. They'd spent an awful lot of time not understanding the point and setting the bar really low when it came to their own faith and their own belief. And, I guess we're not very good at that either. I know that I'm not. When the challenge comes in our lives, when the challenge comes in our church, so often our knees knock and our faith sort of leaks away, doesn't it? Why does that happen? I think it happens because we forget that God is in his heaven, and we think that we are responsible for our lives, and we think that we are responsible for our church, but we're not. God is in his heaven. We have a good Father, and he's responsible, and he is in charge, and we have to look to him and not to our problems. So what we need to do is to place God in his heaven and to receive his heavenly power in our hearts, and that changes our perspective on the world. We have his heavenly hope, we have his heavenly Holy Spirit to strengthen us. And as we walk in our lives, then we find that Jesus is near. Jesus is right alongside us and is with us. And he, in his spirit, he makes us mighty. Of ourselves, like the disciples with Jesus, we're weak. But in him, we are mighty men and women of God. And that's what we see in this passage, because the 72 are sent out. They don't really believe anything is going to happen, but when they come back, they're full of joy and they're saying to Jesus, I can't believe what happened. Of course, Jesus knew what had happened. He didn't need to be told that, but they can't believe it, that God has used them in such a powerful way. But the key is knowing heaven in me, and part of embedding that in us is not a sort of one-off, Lord, I want heaven to come into me, although that's a really good prayer to pray. It is that we grow character over time. It is that we grow in spiritual disciplines of reading the Bible, really mining the Bible as we read it. It's as we spend time in prayer and we spend time in worship. That's crucial to building our experience of God, building the strength of our characters so that we become men and women in him. And St. Augustine is thought to have said that he who sings prays twice. I love that. It's true, isn't it? As we sing. When we sing our worship songs, what we're doing is we're praying to God. And I think it has extra power as we sing. There's no doubt that sung worship enables God to reach deep within our hearts, deep within our souls, and to warm us and to warm our hearts where that is. Okay, so I want heaven in me is the first point. Secondly, I want to take heaven with me. Because it's no good us just having lots of God. As the Archbishop said, we've got to go out and we've got to do something with the God that we have within us. So are you doing Christian work? That's the question. Are you? I wonder what you think when I say that. Are you doing Christian work? Maybe you're thinking, well, perhaps someone on the staff team, someone like Matt, he's doing Christian work. He's a clergyman. He must be. We hope he is anyway. So we've got Matt. Or maybe you're thinking like Kate, who works for the Bridge. She's doing Christian work in that way. Or maybe you're thinking of your work as a children's worker in the Sunday school or a Friday cafe helper. But actually, Christian work is much bigger than that. Because if you're a plumber, or you're a nurse, or you're an engineer, or whatever you do, if you've got heaven in your heart, then that becomes Christian work. You are there as a Christian. It makes a difference. One of our core values at St. Francis is that we aim to be a people of action, where each person says, God can use me. Isn't that great? God can use me. He can use you. And where we live and serve 24/7 to proclaim the good news of God's love. 24/7, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, you can't talk about Jesus all that time. That would be a nightmare if you did that. People would move away from you fairly quickly. But you can live for him all of that time. And when you do so, there may be opportunities to speak for him and speak about him. Now, Jesus knew that disciples had heaven in their hearts. But I think the disciples didn't really know that themselves. They'd been in the slipstream of Jesus' faith. Jesus had led them forth. He had done miracles. He'd done amazing things. And they'd all sort of gone along behind and been pretty unbelieving, really. And so Jesus needs to test their faith. So what he does in Luke 9 is he sends, first of all, the 12 apostles out. They must have been so nervous because Jesus says, I want you to do what I've just been doing. You can imagine what that felt like. And he gave them power and he gave them authority. And they preached and they healed and amazing things happened. So much so that in Luke 9 it says that even King Herod heard of what was happening. They caused a real stir. So they'd walked with Jesus for 2 years. They'd been sent out and they'd grown massively as disciples through this experience. And they'd done what Jesus did. They were no longer hiding behind him. They've stepped out alongside him to do the mission. But then we have the passage that we read today. And some time passes, and then in Luke 10, Jesus sends out 72. Why does he do that? Well, I think Jesus sent out 12 disciples. There they are. Presumably he sent them out in twos. So there were six lots of 12 disciples. And then he sends out 72. I wonder why 72? Well, it seems to me quite logical that Jesus may well have got the disciples to mentor 12 disciples each. And so disciples made disciples who made disciples. So the 72 go out, having been trained by the two disciples who'd previously gone out, and the thing grows and grows and grows. Disciples who make disciples. And that's what we want to do too. I wonder, who are you mentoring at the moment? Are you mentoring anyone? You're probably mentoring your children if you're a parent. That's a really important thing. You may be mentoring other people in the church. And I wonder, who's mentoring you? Are you just a free agent, or have you actually looked for someone who you could perhaps learn from and look up to? Home groups are a great way for us to meet people that we can mentor and be mentored by. Older people perhaps mentoring younger people. More experienced people mentoring new Christians. New Christians challenging the old Christians who got a bit stuck in their ways and need to be asked questions. So be involved in a small group. We're reorganising small groups at the moment, so there's lots of spaces in home groups. There's a men's group, there's a women's group, there's a mum's group, there's every group you could imagine, meeting all over the time, all sorts of times. So don't miss the opportunity. Talk to me or to Matt if you'd like to be involved in that. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Paul Harcourt, this week, Matt and I were the New Wine leaders in Harrogate. Paul Harcourt said this, the kingdom of God is always about the condition of our hearts. We want to be out there, but it's heaven in here to start with that makes the difference, that makes the kingdom come out there. The 70 disciples were sent out to be open, vulnerable, like lambs amongst wolves. And they went out without purse or bag or sandals. And that's all about us being getting rid of the sort of encumbrances that we have in our lives. You know, we can involve ourselves in all sorts of stuff that isn't really kingdom stuff. We need to chuck that aside. We need to travel light. We need to travel dynamically. It's a sort of dynamic urgency and vitality to their mission. They're not to stop on the road. They're to get on with it. And we're called to get on with it too. So I want heaven in me. I want to take heaven with me. We're all part of the 72 sent out this week. Finally, I want to see heaven established through me. In January, the government appointed a minister for loneliness and social isolation. Isn't that sad? A minister for loneliness. Such a problem. And, you know, there are people with money problems, people struggling with stress, with pressure at work, massive pressure in the workplace, a total lack of trust in the workplace anymore. I was talking to a top business leader, was talking to a conference I was at the other day, and she said, you know, the biggest problem is the lack of trust. Everything is performance managed now, and nobody trusts anybody. And she said, it's killing our society. It's killing the workplace. I think that's true. Problems with self-esteem, broken relationships, family difficulties, the struggle of the disabled and the elderly without the services that they need. And you know, many of us have problems ourselves, don't we? It's not all out there. We're not all sort of tickety-boo in here. We've got problems. We struggle with stuff that we carry. Someone once said that the opposite of love is not hatred, it's indifference. It's true, isn't it? Opposite of love is indifference. Just ignore it. As we go out into the world of work, of our community, of our parish, we're there to establish bridgeheads of the kingdom, sort of safe havens of the love of God out in the world where people can come to know Jesus. We can't solve all the problems. We can't even solve our own problems, let alone anybody else's problems. But Jesus can solve their problems. Jesus can make a difference. And we are the ones that carry heaven within us and can share heaven with others. We need to lead people to Jesus where there is hope, real hope. And you know, that's what the church in the UK is doing in a way that it has never done before since the time of Jesus, I believe. We are reaching out through food banks, through CAP debt centres, through schools work, through mentoring young people, through youth work, through homeless work, through work with people who've got addictions. We in our actions cry out, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We're bringing heaven down. And it all comes from heaven in our hearts, from devouring God's word, from being deep in prayer, from having heart-releasing worship. Thy kingdom come. That's what we're praying for. So shall we stand and we'll pray. Lord, we want to be sent out. Lord, we're sorry sometimes that we've filled our lives around with sort of heavy baggage that stops us going out. Lord, we want to travel light. We want to be radical disciples. We want to be different from the world. We want to bring hope to our locality, hope to our workplace, hope to our nation. I wonder what one thing the Lord might want you to do this week. It may be that the start is to press into realizing heaven in your heart, that burning coal, that warming of the soul. That comes by inviting the Spirit, but it also comes by daily discipline, by seeking God each day. Maybe that's something that God's calling you to do in a new way, in a deeper way. Maybe there's something in your workplace or amongst the mums that you share with as you look after your children. Something that God wants you to do. We're going to take a moment of silence now just to capture that, and then as the worship band leads us, let's just commit ourselves to be kingdom makers.